This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Streaks on the china never mattered before. Who cares? When you drop kicked your jacket as you came through the door, no one there. But sometimes things get turned around and no one's spare. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today, we're here to revisit a show that we did earlier in the history of this podcast. We are here to revisit Mr. Belvedere, and I am here to talk with my wonderful daughter-in-law, Lindsay, who is here for her fifth time at the microphone. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, glad to be back.
So glad to have you back. I think you were happy when I said Mr. Belvedere. I think you like him.
I do. I love Mr. Belvedere.
We're going to revisit Mr. Belvedere and the Owens family for Christmas. Now, the last time you and I podcasted about Mr. Belvedere was May 25th of 2020.
Oh, wow. It doesn't seem that long ago.
I know, huh? So let's get into it. Mr. Belvedere, the show, I'll just tell you real quick, six seasons from 1985 to 1991. And it is just basically the series itself is the humorous adventures of a male English housekeeper working for an American family. That's the premise of the show. But this episode that we're going to do is the Christmas episode. Season 2, episode 13, called Christmas Story. And the IMDb says it's Christmas time and every one of the Owens prefers not to do the usual tradition. And Belvedere is not exactly joyful. So Wesley does a little snooping and thinks it's because he has a lost love. So let me just reintroduce. This episode aired on December 18th, 1987.
Okay.
And we're going to just reintroduce the Owens family, the mom, Marcia, the dad, George, the oldest son, Kevin, the daughter, Heather, and then the little precocious son and the breakout star of this show, Wesley. And then, of course, Mr. Lynn Aloysius Belvedere, who, oh my goodness, just love Mr. Belvedere.
Who does? How can you not?
He's the best. He's going to be teddy bear.
He is.
So open it up for us. Lindsay, tell us what's going on when we start.
Okay. So it starts off and mom is just excited. Well, she seems the most excited, I guess. She's ready to start decorating for Christmas. She's pulling out some Christmas decorations, which the first one was like, what is that? It was a popcorn ball, Aunt Millie's popcorn ball that was in the shape of an elf. Mm-hmm. Of course, Wesley was, you know, complaining about it, saying it's creepy and it smells bad, too.
Well, it's like 30 years old or so. It's like you can smell it through the teeth.
Right. And it was missing a chunk or something. Apparently, Mr. Belvedere chipped his tooth on it. I don't know. So they were, yeah, that's the start. They're getting ready. Mom's handing out directions as to who's going to do what, who's responsible for what as far as decorating
your
goes and preparing.
Mom, correct. Thing, trying to get everything delegated, correct. Or else she's going to wind up
doing everything. Correct. Yep. So
we can all relate. Every woman out there can relate.
Right. Yes. And then Wesley's abnormally large stocking that he pulls out and he says, I remember this being bigger and it's like taller than him, you know.
You could literally put a bike in it.
Right.
Do you know, the first time I saw that episode, I remembered that Caleb's first Christmas, because he was born in November, so his first Christmas was a month later. And my parents, of course, it was their first grandchild, their grandson.
I can only imagine.
My dad would hold him up like Simba or whatever, you know. And they got him a stocking like that his name on it. Literally. I've got to have a picture of it somewhere, Lindsay. But of course, you know, he was... a month old, and they filled it with things like formula, diapers, and
things
stuff
to help you. But it was for Caleb. It was exactly.
They were such, I guess, maybe typical first time grandparents. Mr. Belvedere and Kevin come in with the tree. But then Mr. Belvedere drops a bomb. What does he say, Lindsay?
He informs everybody that his work here is done. He will, in fact, help prep Christmas dinner, have it ready to go, just pop in the oven. Easy as that. But after that, his work here is done. And he's gonna, you know, go ahead and be alone for Christmas like he likes to do. He's leaving.
And they all, like, what?
Turn around. What? What do you mean, your absence?
They're as upset as I was that Mr. wasn't going to be here for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Like, hold the phone. What? And it literally, you could hear like a record screech. Like,
right. They all turn around.
Everything came to an end.
Like, wait, you not belong to us, but you know, we're your family. You're our family. Like, where are you going?
He says, well, Christmas is my day off.
Right.
That's it. That's all he said. And it's reasonable. I mean, you're off on Christmas. I'm off on Christmas.
That is true.
So Mr. Belvedere's off for Christmas. Then it goes into the theme song, which, you guys, I say this every time. Theme songs are so iconic. I just love it.
Love it.
It's perfect for him. Makes you sad that he's gone, the actor Christopher Hewitt, who played Mr. Belvedere. I have a bunch of the seasons on DVD, and I like to listen to them. And some of them have commentary that accompany the episode. And the commentary is the mother and the three kids. And they look at the episode and talk about it while they're watching it. And they all so fondly talk about Christopher, because he did come here from England and he had no family here. And after the show, they truly were his family. He loved being with them.
Oh,
and
wow.
You could tell the emotion in their voices when they talk about him and how much they miss him. And
that makes me love it even more. Yeah. I already loved it, but I didn't realize that was actually lined up with his story. Yeah,
absolutely. And wow. I think it shows on screen. They're going through Christmas cards.
One of the neighbors sent a 20, and they're wondering why, for what, which reason? Oh, this is to bribe us to keep Wesley off their lawn.
As if Wesley were a puppy.
Right, right.
But Mr. Belvedere comes in bringing Christmas cookies. Hey, I made cookies the day we put up the tree, remember?
Yes.
Yes, talked to them.
That's right.
But they start beating an already dead horse. Why won't you be spending Christmas with us? And he very plainly states, "No, everyone has Christmas traditions. Mine is to spend it alone.
Yeah.
And he just turns and walks out the room.
Yeah.
Now I'm feeling sad.
Me too.
At this point. Are you thinking there's something more behind this at this point or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
100%. Because there has to be.
Wesley and them made that leap that there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe he wants a day off. Maybe he needs a break from Wesley.
See, and I didn't. I was like, wait, what happened on Christmas years ago? Or what happened that he needs to be alone, or he needs this time to, you know, I felt like something
really?
Was wrong.
See,
and I wanted to know why.
I wasn't reading that yet. I was taking his words at face value. I need a day off. So then they all wonder. Why does he want to be alone? Nobody wants to be alone. I don't know.
Right. No.
Who wants to be alone on Christmas? So Wesley comes downstairs wearing a yarmulke and pronounces that he is now Jewish. We don't know of what religious persuasion they are, but we figure they're not Jewish if they're putting up a Christmas tree.
Right. But all I knew was, I thought it was funny because Mr. Belvedere was like, that, you know, the parents are explaining, you can't just decide to become this. It's a religion. It's something that, you know, you're born into or whatever. Mr. Belvedere is like, matter of fact, well, we know why he's doing it. Could it be the 8 days of gifts that you receive? And then Wesley, I thought it was 9. Perfectly explained.
So Mr. Belvedere's got him pegged right away. He knew what it was about.
Absolutely.
Right. So Mr. Belvedere says, well, so much for spiritual callings.
Right.
So that's Wesley's thing happening this Christmas.
Yes.
He wants to be Jewish and get more presents. It's all about getting and not receiving.
Yes.
Then we find out that Kevin wants to go skiing in the Pocono Mountains. That's the oldest son, with some hot girls for the holidays.
Right.
So he says to Belvedere, look, you got to stay, because if you're gone and I'm gone,
it'll really be noticeable. Mom's not going to have it. You know, it'll be harder to get by. If you stay, I'll be able to go.
And Belvedere's like, nope.
Not happening. Not happening.
You need to be here to spill eggnog on your dad.
Right. Who else is going to do that if you're not here?
So Wesley's wanting to spin a dreidel and light the menorah candles and everything. And they're like, okay, enough.
Calm down. Right.
You need to think about giving and not receiving. And this sparks the entire episode, because it puts Wesley on a quest that from this point on, he don't care about what he gets. it's crazy, but it's kind of adorable. So the secondary stories are happening. Kevin wanting to go to the Poconos, and then the daughter wanting to go to
the Bahamas.
The Bahamas.
Right. If he gets to go, why can't I go on a trip with my friends?
They all want to leave. Right. So,
and then the dad comes in and he's frustrated. And he's like, you know what? Then none of us, you know, everybody go. You want to go? Go ahead. Go skiing. You want to go to the Bahamas? Start swimming. He says, get out of here. And then he gets frustrated.
He went and took the lights down.
He took the lights down. Yeah. You know, he's like, that's fine. Then we don't need to, you know, celebrate this. It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there. Mom's upset. Everyone's upset. Yeah.
And I can understand that as a parent. You know, really? Leave the day after Christmas and go with your friends or whatever.
The mom even said, all I want for Christmas, the perfect gift, is to have all of you here with me, you know, celebrating.
Yeah.
That's all I want as a mother. So things start to fall apart quickly.
With the family.
Right.
But Wesley is not involved in this.
No.
Wesley is upstairs because he can't leave Mr. Belvedere alone. Why? And Belvedere's like, look, give it a rest. I'm leaving. I won't be here. Okay. But when he's gone, what happens?
So, yeah. So he had, like you said, walked in his room. He sees the little watch. He sees that he's asking, what would you like for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Okay. What about that watch? I have a watch, you know, well, it's broken. Well, how about I fix it? I don't want it fixed. I like it the way it is.
Yeah.
Please get out. And Wesley, bah, humbug, you know, you're really in the Christmas spirit. So he leaves. Well, after that, he was wondering, I think it caught Wesley's eye, that little box he was holding that held the watch and had held a note. So later he snuck into his room with his sister and was like, we got to figure out, you know, why he wants to be alone, what the situation is. There's more to it. And then they open the box.
First, they read the inscription on the back of the watch.
Yes.
To my dearest Lynn, December 1941, love, Pamela.
Yes.
And then they find the letter.
Right.
Do you know what the letter said? You have that? Or what?
Well, Wesley reads the letter and it basically states her brother was sent off to war. She was going to be responsible for his children.
Right.
That she enjoyed all the time spent, but they could no longer see each other. You know, she had to take on a new responsibility.
And this was World War II.
Yes. She wished him all the best and, you know, happiest life. And
yeah. She says she's here in wherever they live, Sheffield.
Sheffield,
and she's going to stay with her brother's children. He got called up and she sent him the watch and she said in the letter, remember me and our time together. And did you like the peanut brittle? They always mention food with Mr.
All the time.
But anyway, so Heather immediately says this is tragically beautiful because out of that letter, and I wrote it word for word, she goes on to explain what happened. Ready?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Pamela was the love of his life, which Wesley said, I thought it was Oreos. There you go with the food again.
Right.
It was during the Black and White War, the one that you see on PBS. Mr. Belvedere was a dashing cavalry officer, and Pamela was the beautiful young daughter of the Duke of Earl or something like that, and they were to be married. But the war came, and Belvedere went off to be a hero, and when he came back, he couldn't find her, and she thought he was dead. So she became a nun, and their love could never be. And that's why Mr. Belvedere hates Christmas.
Oh my gosh. The drama.
Quite the imagination.
Oh my gosh. And it came on like that. Like she was like, I know exactly what has happened here. This is awful. She's crying.
Yeah.
I was laughing. It reminded me of like Ian and I, how we're so quick to emotional people. She's sitting on the bed as Wesley's reading the letter. Just...
Yeah.
You know, so upset. Like, I know what happened here.
But the both of them are convinced this is the story.
Right.
This is what
extremely dramatic, very far-fetched, but, you know.
What an imagination. And
absolutely.
Wesley simply says, yeah, that makes sense. Like, he buys
probably
it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what happened. Okay, so what happens next?
Oh, gosh. So, Wesley realizes what his job is, what he has to do.
What he's got to do.
You know, this is not about receiving. This is about giving. Only thing that would change Mr. Belvedere's perspective and outlook on Christmas and wanting to be alone is to reunite these two, if at all possible. So he takes it upon himself to locate the Pamela. And, you know, who walks in? Wait, am I forgetting?
Heather walks in.
She's like, you know, she's not still going to be there. You can't just call someone and you're going to be able to speak to them. And we don't even know.
Yeah. Hello, Pamela.
Hello, Pamela. Yes. Was he saying, have you ever been to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. So that's where the scene ends. He's on the phone with Pamela. You ever been to Pittsburgh? And that's all we know.
So we know he is trying. He's going to try something to connect these two.
While the family's arguing about everybody wanting to leave, Wesley's skipping through singing It's Beginning to Look a lot like Christmas. And they're like, what's up with him? He stopped being Jewish, so we know he's not getting 9 gifts or 8 gifts. And they don't understand. But now it's Christmas Eve and Mr. Belvedere's ready. He's going to leave to go to the movies. He's wishing them all a Merry Christmas since he won't be here tonight or tomorrow. And Wesley's like, no, you can't go. Because he reveals your present is on its way. Right. And what's his present?
Good old Pamela.
Pamela Kent.
Pamela Kent on the way. But real quick, Mr. Belvedere says, it's okay, Wesley. I left your present under the tree. And he's like, no, it's not about me. I have a gift for you. And that's when he says, it's just not here yet. And lo and behold, not soon after, the doorbell rings.
But he said, your gift is Pamela Kent, your one true love. And Mr. Belvedere says, oh, Wesley, when you jump to conclusions, you don't fool around. And he explains, and he said, well, she wasn't. He said, she was a friend I knew during the war. Wesley says, well, you two weren't in love? And he said, we were very fond of each other, but then those were extraordinary times. Anyway, it would never have worked out because she's 20 years older than I. Now, Mr. Belvedere's got to be 50s?
Yeah, I'd say like late 50s, early 60s maybe.
Which would put her almost 80.
Right.
I love this game.
I was waiting too.
When the doorbell rings, go ahead.
Oh my
what
gosh.
Happened?
So when the doorbell rings and they open, well, Wesley's like, don't answer that.
Yeah.
I think I might have messed up, you know. Yeah. So obviously Kevin's like, oh, get it. Opens the door.
Cute little 19-year-old Kevin.
Kevin, handsome guy, opens the door to Pamela and Kent, and she looks at him and reaches out her hand. Lynn? Like, is it you? This little tiny cute old lady, probably yes, in her 80s, like we said,
yes.
Lynn? And he's like, oh, no, no, no. Points directly, turns around and points to Mr. Belvedere.
Okay, so we immediately jump scenes to Mr. Belvedere and Pamela Kent in the kitchen having a cup of tea. And this is an awkward cup of tea. At first, it's just like, oh, well, long time no see.
Right. We don't know what to talk about. We're feeling like she feels a little differently than he does in the moment. It is quite awkward. Like, they don't know how to.
He's still a little surprised. Probably.
Very surprised.
And she apparently was a little misled. But we learned she plays bingo 3 times a week. She's a little old lady.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a silent pause. And then she says, the little boy promised me you'd introduce me to Larry Hagman. Which, at the time, in 1987, Dallas was the number one show on TV, the Who Shot JR and everything. And, of course, Larry Hagman was JR. Nobody was going to get to meet Larry Hagman. But anyway, Wesley promised Larry Hagman, his little old lady,
anything to get her there.
So then, though, we go back to them in the kitchen. They've switched to wine.
They've switched it over.
And they're talking and laughing now. They've kind of loosened up. Yep. But tell us what happens, Lindsay.
they're drinking, like you said. They're starting to laugh. They start reminiscing and talking about their last mm-hmm. afternoon together.
Yes. In the Queen Anne suite of the Hyde Park Hotel.
Correct. Yes.
So we find out they hooked up.
Yep. As bombs were falling and this was happening. And
Well, that's what he meant. They were different times. People figured, what the heck?
What?
I'm not going to die in 5 minutes.
We don't know what's going to happen.
So there was a very sweet, touching relationship between them. I think he was like a 20-year-old and she was a 40-year-old at the time. I think they mentioned that. And they had this one great afternoon. And he wasn't thinking about Oreos, I guarantee.
No, I don't think so.
So I didn't see that coming. Did you?
Not really. Not prior to. I don't know. It throws you for a loop. Like when you first hear the watch and you think, oh, his love. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. This is someone he was probably in love with. Obviously, he was whatever. And then when she arrives and they start, I'm like, okay, maybe it was not at all what I assumed or thought could have happened. But then as they're drinking and laughing and cutting up and it seems like they're so much closer and getting along so well and they do have this relationship, I'm like, do they have a little bit of a past?
Yeah.
And then they quickly mention that they do, in fact. Yes.
They both said it was quite an afternoon. Yeah. So didn't see that coming. So then they come out the dining room. The family's all sitting in the living room and they're laughing and they explain that it took them a little while to get reacquainted. She points out how thoughtful and generous Wesley is and stated how much she loved flying first class. And you know this is on Dad's credit card.
He immediately puts his hands between, you know, he's like, my gosh, what did you do, Wesley?
Dad's on the sofa like, "Arr."
Yeah.
So Wesley asks him, now that you're back together, Mr. Belvedere, does this mean that you don't hate Christmas? And right. Belvedere says, I didn't hate Christmas, but thinking about Pamela and all the friends I lost in the war, Christmas was just a little bit sad until this one.
I know.
They show you the family on the sofa, the other two kids and the mom and dad. They're all blowing their noses. They're crying.
It hits them too. Like it touches them as well. Yes. And they're all crying. Like they're all sniffling. Like it's
Wesley
heavy.
Saved the
Christmas.
Day.
I know. And that's what I felt like in that moment. I was like, the other episode when I, you know, began to love this family and Mr. Belvedere, my first, the pilot episode, I feel like after, I was like, this is a little heavy moment. They weren't, you know, the others were not like that. Very lighthearted, silly, sarcasm, funny. But this was a moment where
well,
I was like.
They dropped a bomb that Belvedere and her really did have an affair. Right. I'm like, okay, this is a little serious because Wesley just did something goofy
silly,
and
it's going to be funny. He misread. No, it ends up.
He was correct.
Exactly. He changed Christmas for Mr. Belvedere and the family, I think. Mm-hmm. It changed, you know, everybody's outlook.
So Lynn and Pamela leave. They're going to go out to dinner. Belvedere wishes them all a Merry Christmas from the bottom of his heart. And they go out to dinner. And then Kevin and Heather change their mind. They don't want to leave anymore because they've learned a lot this Christmas, they say.
Absolutely. Yes. So before they head out, he like you said, it's very sweet. He wishes them such a Merry Christmas, mm-hmm. you know, a wonderful. And then a snowball hits him in the face as he's trying to leave the door. Settle down, Pamela, settle down. Like as if she's like this little wild, like they're about to go have a great time recreating that one special evening. That's how I felt. I don't necessarily want to think that they were going to do that, but I felt like they were going to go recreate, have a fun, like childhood, like she threw a snowball at him, like settle down, Pamela. Like she was fun. She was wild. Like they were going to live that or have that moment.
But you know what they did a great job of? It leaves you thinking, will they or won't they? But it's not what it's all about. You know, there's such a message here.
Yes.
We'll talk about the message in a minute, but there's a little epilogue. On this podcast, we call it a sickaloo, but it's an epilogue. And every episode at the end, Mr. Belvedere is writing in his journal and he summarizes what has happened. He wrote in his journal, Pamela departed and they promised to meet in another 40 years. Wesley is facing a 6-month grounding unless he can raise the money to pay for the first class airfare. He says, but of course, I've already paid George back for Pamela's airfare, but I don't need to tell Wesley that. I mean, I love him, but I like to watch him squirm. So that's how it ended. Now, I find as I'm watching through these Christmas episodes that almost all of them have a message. They all take a little time out from goofiness and silliness and whatever to give us a message. I almost don't have to ask this, but do you believe this episode conveyed a message?
Absolutely. And I feel like if they were able to teach Wesley or change his mind and his outlook, number one, for him to go out of his way and to help Mr. Belvedere and to figure out what was going on, just the whole thing was perfect. It sent a message to everybody. Everybody took a moment to stop and realize what it was actually about. And just being together, that's all it really, it's not about, you know, what you receive. It's about spending time together.
It's about changes and then of course, Belvedere kind of, I get the idea the way he said it. He said all those years, Christmas reminded him of all the people he lost in the war and Pamela and all this. And he said, and they were all sad until this one. So it kind of makes you believe it has helped eradicate that sadness. And now Christmas won't be sad for him.
Right. It completely changed his outlook on Christmas. It changed it.
And I think Wesley's lesson was even reinforced when he saw what it did for Mr. Belvedere.
Absolutely.
When he saw what his gift did for somebody.
Absolutely.
It changed their life.
It was a life lesson.
It was a life lesson
for him. Yep.
And I think that's beautiful, but it's still delivered on the comedy. It's still delivered on our family sitcom and our family that we love, Lindsay.
Correct.
The Owens family.
Yes.
So do you think this episode reflects Christmas well?
I do. I do. Because I think it's easy for any of us to you know, it's such a busy time of year. You focus on, oh, I got to get this done, whether it's the food or the gifts or buying this or doing that, and the distractions. I think it's important just to, it reminds you to take a step back and just to realize, like, it's not all about that. We don't even need anything, you know, it's more about getting to kind of just relax and hang out and spend that quality time together. So yeah, I think it perfectly relates to
exactly
today still.
Yeah,
you know?
And when you watch a show, that's basically a sitcom that can be light and fluffy. But even I, when I was watching this at the end, I felt a little something adjust in me, like a reminder and a feeling of
what's truly important.
Exactly.
That's all. I agree.
Yeah. It was wonderful. So this little revisit to Mr. Belvedere for the holidays was a nice treat. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I was so happy when you told me which one I got to do. You know how
I didn't know if the Christmas episode was going to be good.
But... no, but I love him so much and the family. I assumed that I would like it.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. And in the new year, Lindsay and I are going to be tackling I Dream of Jeannie, which was a request by Michael, one of our listeners.
Okay.
So perfect. We will see you back then.
Thanks for having me.
And we didn't mention a certain show. So instead of saying goodbye, what are we going to say? Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast and join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.